Mr.
It's a fun one, Jakupke.
Jakupke, thank you very much, and good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. My name is Jordan Jakupke, and I, along with Bill Getman from Getman & Mills Law Firm, represent the appellants in this case, Carol Vinger-Murray and Lois Benz. Cases before you from an order disqualifying Ms. Getman and the firm as appellant's counsel from any continued representation. The first issue that I'd like to address is the jurisdiction that has been raised by the appellee. The court has jurisdiction to review an order disqualifying counsel under Richardson v. Griffiths, the Maddox exception to the final order requirement. In that case, this court found that it was appropriate when the order is collateral to the underlying case at issue, which here the underlying issue is the will contest. The order disqualifying counsel is collateral to that.
So, counsel, your sole argument on jurisdiction is the collateral order doctrine, correct?
Yes, it's... It seems to me that with Richardson v. Griffiths and then kind of reiterating the subsequent case, Tranum v. Sutherland Associates, there's a distinction between an order denying a motion to disqualify counsel and the appropriate remedy in that circumstance, which would be writ of mandamus, as opposed to here where appropriate manner to remedy the situation would be to immediately appeal case.
I'm sorry, help me factually, what happened here?
Here the complaint was filed in the underlying will contest.
I'm getting to the denial.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Factually, what happened in this case?
The attorneys in this case is related to the appellants. Ms. Getman is the daughter of one of the appellants, Ms. Vinger-Murray. So I guess in that regard, the state has taken the position that she's going to be a necessary witness at trial. And on that basis, Ms. Getman is disqualified under 3.7 of the Rules of Professional Conduct.
But if you can't distinguish between, I'm not sure which case you were referring to, where you said there was a proper situation where you would use a mandamus.
The mandamus?
Right.
You mean factually, how's it different?
Right.
So Richardson v. Griffith, for example, concerned the rescission of a purchase agreement, which is separate from the order to disqualify counsel.
I think that the Chief Justice is asking, how do you get here? Do you have a ruling and a direct appeal, or do you file a mandamus or some other vehicle?
Well, this court has determined that mandamus wouldn't be appropriate in this circumstance. It has said that allowing the order to stand without an immediate avenue or review would prejudice rights of the party.
Well, mandamus applies when the court refuses to disqualify. The other remedy is a collateral appeal if the court does disqualify the person. But there's two things that are involved in that. And one of them is whether you're disqualifying the person as a witness or whether you're disqualifying the attorney because the attorney has a conflict of interest. Do you see a distinction between those two?
Yes, I think there is a distinction, and I think the distinction between being a necessary witness and there being a conflict of interest has been sort of conflated, or was sort of.
Well, I think we've said in cases where the attorney has a conflict of interest, and you can't let the attorney try the case all the way through, because at that point in time, the bell has been rung, and you can't unring the bell. But whereas a material witness, did the record establish that this attorney, you couldn't prove your case otherwise, or the, not you, but the case couldn't be proved without the use of this attorney's testimony?
Well, the thing is this case is in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
The record hasn't been allowed to progress or develop. The objection to Ms. Getman's representation and the firm's representation was filed with the answer to the complaint simultaneously. There were depositions, but we're of the position that Ms. Getman is not a material witness or necessary, as this court has determined that word in Beller v. Crow. So I hope that answers your question. But at this point, the rule says that a necessary witness can't act as advocate at trial.
Right.
So notwithstanding whether Ms. Getman is necessary, this case is far from a trial. The purpose of the rule is to prevent any sort of prejudice to the opposing party or any confusion by the jury at a trial.
Counsel, how would your client be prejudiced if you had to get a different attorney on the case? I mean, what is unique about this situation that this particular attorney has to stay on the case?
Well, we believe under Beller, the substantial hardships, that would be 3.783, we believe that that applies in this case.
Well, what's the substantial hardship?
The substantial hardship would be the fact that appellants no longer have counsel to represent them. And
why couldn't they go hire another counsel?
Well, that's plausible, Your Honor.
Isn't there some level that you have to show that this counsel needs to remain on this case?
I don't know that there's necessarily...
I'm not saying you necessarily have to have a burden, but when you're arguing that there's a substantial... Help us out. Tell us what that substantial harm specifically is.
Well, in this case, I mean, for example...
You're arguing that you have a right to pick your own lawyer.
Well, yeah, there's definitely that.
And that somebody shouldn't be able to disqualify your use of that lawyer by claiming that this lawyer is going to be a witness in the case. And that becomes a determination that needs to be made at some point in time before the case proceeds.
Before the case proceeds to trial. One of the purpose or one of the goals is to prevent it from being used as a tactic, which this court acknowledged in Miller v. Crow. But there's also a contingency fee basis to the fee arrangement between appellants and the firm at a reduced rate. So in addition to finding counsel, there would be a financial aspect that would not be necessarily reasonable or certain if they were to seek out additional counsel. Now, I go ahead and... There are no questions. I'll go ahead and reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rasmussen, good morning to you.
Good morning. It pleases the court, your honors, opposing counsel. My name is Wayne Rasmussen. I'm with the firm of Rasmussen & Associates in Omaha, and we represent the appellee in this matter, Penny Dupuy, the personal representative of the James Chapman Estate. As you know, this is an appeal involving appearance of counsel, representation of one of the parties, whereby appellant's counsel, Jill Getman, represents her mother in an action to overturn the will of the mother's brother. Strictly a family matter, but before we can get to the that obviously in the Sarpy County District Court.
Family matters don't necessarily disqualify the attorney who is a member of the family.
They don't necessarily, no, Your Honor, you're correct.
Is this a final order because...
No, we have an interlocutory order.
Is there a difference between disqualifying because you claim them to be a witness and disqualifying them because they have a conflict of interest? Then we recognize that when the lawyers have a conflict of interest, and that lawyer's disqualified, that that is a collateral order that may be appealed?
That's a good question, because I think counsel previously cited the exception to the final order rule that was adopted, sometimes called the Maddox exemption. It was adopted in a previous case, and that case involved a conflict of interest where the appellant's attorney had previously provided counsel to the appellee and on matters related to the same subject matter of that particular litigation.
What would happen if the parties did not appeal from this order disqualifying the attorney?
Judge Arterburn would have allowed Ms. Gettman's firm to continue as counsel?
No, she disqualified them, didn't she?
Ms. Gettman has been disqualified.
Right. Now, what would happen if the parties then had to pick another counsel and try the case, and at the end of the case, would they have any remedy to deal with the order that had disqualified their lawyer in the first place?
If the appellants can show that if there was some problem as a result of from the fact that they were not allowed to have Ms. Gettman as a counsel, they may have a claim.
What kind of a claim would they have?
I'm not sure what they would have.
Could they get a new trial?
I don't know how they could, Your Honor. Unless there's some issue that they can't obtain counsel to represent them,
are they left without a remedy if they don't appeal now?
I have a similar issue with respect to our client, that if the court here accepts jurisdiction in this case and goes forward and actually reverses the decision of the Sarpy County District Court, and we do run into an issue with counsel down the line with some confusion as to whether counsel is acting as a witness or an advocate, and that we determine that could be harmful to our case.
There wouldn't be any doubt whether counsel is acting as a witness, would there? The counsel would have to be sworn and testify.
That's correct.
Okay. So if counsel tries the case but doesn't testify, do you have...
As you know, the way that questions are answered and responses are provided to witnesses can be different for someone that has a stake in the case, basically, than for someone who's totally independent.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you with the rest of your argument. So.
Anyway, going back to the Richardson case, that case did involve a conflict of interest. It involved a situation where the appellant's counsel had previously provided legal advice to the appellee, and the court did find that for disqualifying counsel there was not a final order. It found that it did not affect a significant legal or substantial right of the parties, and specifically stated that the right to counsel in a particular action was not a substantial right. The court went on in that case to adopt an exception, sometimes referred to as the Maddox exception, to the requirement that appeals be for final orders. In that case, we had an interlocutory order just as we do here, but in that case the court found that the issue was something that was collateral to the underlying action. This was a case of a conflict, and I think in general...
Let me interrupt you. Do you see a distinction between a conflict that the attorney may have versus the attorney being alleged to be a witness in the case?
I think there's a difference.
Okay.
When we have a conflict of interest situation, our courts have been very adamant. I think they've almost drawn a bright line rule. In fact, one of the cases that this court has decided in the past, I'm not sure it's in your outline, it's Centra Inc. versus Chandler, 248 Nebraska 844. The court said that the disqualification upon a showing of a conflict is clear and absolute. It is a ministerial duty which a trial court has no discretion to disregard. In my view, the court...
Was that a mandamus action?
Pardon?
Was that a mandamus action?
Centra's, I believe it was.
Yeah. Okay.
But their analysis of this is that the conflict of interest is a... collateral to the underlying action, that they're so intertwined, there's such a nexus there that it would be unfair for the case to go beyond that point. And I note that in the Richardson case, the court specifically stated that they were adopting this exception for purposes of that case. Did not adopt a general exception that applied to, say, disqualification of counsel. They adopted what appears to be a very narrow
exception. Why do you think they did that?
Pardon?
Why do you think the court did that?
Well, they had a couple of things going on there. One is they wanted to establish that in some cases on these disqualification of counsels, if the counsel had been disqualified, they truly had a right to appeal. And they distinguish that from cases where counsel had not been disqualified, where the parties then had to get a mandamus action for this. So there's 180 degrees difference there depending on whether the counsel was disqualified at the lower court or whether it was non-disqualified. So when there has been a disqualification, we have here, appeal is the correct procedure. If counsel has not been disqualified, then a mandamus action is appropriate. But I think the same issues come about here with respect to, number one, the final
You can't
order.
Bring a mandamus to undisqualify counsel.
Pardon?
You can't bring a mandamus to undisqualify
That's
counsel.
Correct. That's right. What I say is if counsel in the lower court had not been disqualified, the party has to bring a mandamus action, but would not be able to appeal that action.
Counsel, hypothetically, let's say we have jurisdiction. If you simply can allege, and I'm not saying that you're doing it in bad faith, but an allegation that the other opposing counsel might be a witness in a case, if that's all it takes to disqualify, isn't that going to lead to a lot of disqualifications? Just saying, well, we may have to subpoena you as a witness. What I'm saying is that doesn't seem like a very high standard.
I understand the question because it slows down the litigation and causes issues. In this case, I think the facts are laid out a lot in the briefs of the parties that there was a falling out among the family members some 30 or 40 years ago, and the contestants to the will are now coming in claiming that our client,
well,
the
couldn't you find another witness to testify?
Pardon?
Couldn't you find another witness to testify about that?
There are probably only about three people that can testify, and that would be the appellant and her sister and Ms. Getman, who was probably a teenager at the time who lived with her mother and would have heard about
it. So haven't you just suggested that there are other witnesses you could call?
I understand there would be no other witnesses that may be called. And Ms. Getman's testimony might be
harmful to her
case to upset the will. Pardon?
You're arguing that the testimony of this lawyer was material to your case.
The will contest will be the appellants who have to carry the ball there, but if Ms. Getman is called as a witness, she would obviously be providing testimony that could be harmful to that case, could be a result in a conflict of interest in itself.
Why couldn't you get that testimony from Ms. Getman's mother or Ms. Getman's aunt?
Well, we believe that Ms. Getman has probably a unique perspective on this, something different than her mother, and something where she'd be able to provide testimonies to family issues that are different from those that were experienced by her mother or by her aunt.
That seems to be a pretty slim read.
Well, there aren't that many people that have this knowledge, Your Honor, and that goes back to events and facts that happened over 30 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
1 minute and 49 seconds.
1 minute and 49 seconds. Mr. Jakubka.
Thank you. There has not been any discovery in this case, so we cannot determine whether Ms. Getman's testimony is essential or that whether she has a unique perspective of
what did the trial court rely on?
The trial court first disqualified her as a necessary witness and focused on her knowledge about events.
But was there evidence offered at that hearing? Were the depositions
presented?
The depositions, to my knowledge, were offered in the record.
So the court reviewed the depositions?
Yes, yes.
And based on those and the arguments presented, made the determination?
It's my understanding that everything was considered before the order was entered.
Ms. Gebman was not deposed, though, is that correct?
Ms. Gebman was deposed. Both appellants were opposed, Ms. Vingemurray and Ms. Benz and Ms. Gebman. The testimony of Ms. Vingemurray is in-depth and explains and offers the evidence of everything that Ms. Gebman is being sought for. She has first-hand knowledge, whereas Ms. Gebman has hearsay knowledge that she heard from Ms. Vingemurray. If this court does not review this order, there would be no review possible for the appellants in this case. They would have no remedy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll go on to the next case.